Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, when it comes to machine learning, there are two points that dramatically stand out. The first is that the amount of the data that you have to train your system will increase the accuracy of the model. And second, the quality of the data will also affect the accuracy of the model. Now, that being said, one of the fantastic elements of machine learning is that you can always retrain your model based upon new data. But not all organizations retrain in the same way, and when using machine learning for fraud protection or detection, you have the potential to leave temporary gaps that fraudsters can take advantage of. So to talk about this solution and to get a deep dive into machine learning, I have Patricia Rojas de la Monaco, who is ACI Worldwide Team Manager and Data Scientist, and Tim Sloan, Mercator Advisor Group, the VP of Payments Innovation. So there's certainly a lot of data and information to unpack on today's episode, so without any further delays, let's start the show.
So Patricia and Tim, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode, where we're really going to be taking kind of a deep dive or looking through the microscope at machine learning in particular here, because machine learning is certainly one of those very interesting modern day tools, and particularly as it relates to kind of fraud prevention. So Patricia, from your perspective at ACI Worldwide, you know, machine learning has been a very hot topic in the payments over the last couple of years, as I'm sure you're very aware of, and particularly, as I mentioned, in fraud prevention. So I'm curious, are we at a stage right now then that that machine learning has now become table stakes for fraud prevention tools, or is it still kind of a nice to have situation?
Yes, absolutely. So machine learning is definitely a very valuable tool for fraud prevention. I will say it's an essential tool. It's definitely a must have in your fraud strategy, because at a very high level, detecting fraud, it's based on learning the difference between a normal spending behavior and an unusual one, a fraudulent one. So machine learning models are capable of analyzing the data, learning that difference between good and fraud. So it's definitely a tool fit for fighting today's sophisticated fraudsters. And these type of models, when they're properly trained and build for one specific merchant or one specific sector, they can help increase the fraud detection accuracy in your overall fraud strategy by as much as 40 to 50%. But there is a little bit of hype too. So it's very important that merchants and PSP understand exactly what they're getting to when it comes to machine learning capabilities, because as with pretty much everything in life, there are many different standards, many different techniques, and different levels of sophistication in machine learning algorithms. And something else that is very important is these type of algorithms are only as good as the data that you have. So it's definitely a lot of factors to consider there.
So I absolutely agree with everything you said, Patricia. One of the challenges is machine learning techniques are advancing so rapidly that the models and the algorithms that were used just a year ago have been significantly upgraded, new models introduced, new algorithms. And so it's a very rapidly evolving technology platform that then needs to be converted and utilized in this particular area of fraud detection. And that takes resources, right? It takes staying on top of the technology and constantly reevaluating the models you have. It takes a company the size of ACI to be able to stay on top of it.
Yeah, and there were quite a few things there that I certainly want to discuss in today's episode. You know, Patricia, one of the things you brought up is kind of the quality of the data, or kind of a garbage in, garbage out situation. And then Tim also brought up in terms of the model perspective of it. But before we dive into that, I'd love to kind of jump into the aspect of kind of taking a look at machine learning, kind of using that as a tool versus other tools that are in the marketplace. Because, you know, obviously there's multiple ways to kind of attack the fraud prevention solution, but I'm curious to kind of really dive into why machine learning specifically, and maybe kind of what makes it like the best tool for the job, particularly when you're talking about fraud prevention.
Sure. So now with big data, identifying those fraud behaviors can be a very complex task and a very time-consuming task. So machine learning models are ideal for these cases because they're very efficient analyzing that large amount of data and identifying those trends. And they're not only more precise, but they're also quicker. And this is very important because, as Tim mentioned previously, the fraud behaviors change very quickly. So you need to be able to stay on top of that and to adapt your strategy to be able to capture those new fraudulent behaviors. So machine learning can do all that faster. So they overall help to significantly increase your fraud prevention strategy, to minimize the false positive, and to reduce the friction at the checkout for the customer.
Yeah, you know, there is some confusion that I've seen in the market about the availability of data, which is so critical to the machine learning, which is why it's important. When you have an attribute or a signal that by itself may not be predictive. Well, if you have 25 signals, each of which by itself is not predictive, when you put them all together, all of a sudden you have a highly predictive signal in the combination of them that can detect that fraud that's about to occur. It's also interesting that you have data that's generated across the network. So you have data at the merchant location, you have about the account, the individual, their behavior, you have data coming from the network, you have data at the acquirer, and you have data that, if you're lucky, you can get from the issuer to be able to tie it all together, pull those signals together, and learn more than you possibly could any other way.
Yes, exactly. And machine learning models are also very efficient, helping to break down that information into smaller chunks, only the key information that you need for your model. So, for example, you could have a transaction attribute, let's say the customer email, but you're not really interested in the exact email address. Maybe what you are interested in is if you're seeing the same email more than a few times in a day, or if it's a genuine email domain, or if it's just a gibberish word versus a real name. So machine learning models are very efficient to identify that and just to help you to break down the information to the key aspects to feed that to your model to get a better fraud detection.
Yeah, so let's dive into this, the data aspect of it, you know, that we've certainly talked a little bit about here. And, you know, Patricia, you kind of brought up in terms of the quality of data aspect of it, because that is kind of the lifeblood of machine learning and kind of how the different models are generated. And I think that it's very interesting that when we use the term machine learning, I think some people kind of get it in their head that, okay, machine learning is just kind of the word that's used to for this overarching kind of tool, but don't necessarily understand that there are very specific or different models that can kind of fit under machine learning. And you can use, you know, one model, two models, a variety of things. But then it also comes down to the, as we pointed out, kind of the quality of data, the garbage in, garbage out. So you may have or think that you're using the best models, but if you don't have the highest quality of data or the cleanest data, those models are not necessarily going to account for a lot. So I'd love to start with you, Patricia, here. Maybe you could kind of break down some of the particular types of machine learning models that are out there, maybe kind of some that are more effective than others, from what you're seeing in the industry, and then kind of like what are kind of the best tactics when it comes to kind of collecting data and using that to train or perhaps reinforce models that you currently have in existence?
Yes, sure. So there are many different type of machine learning models and many different algorithms you can use depending on your use case. So for example, for fraud detection, one of the things we have noticed is the tree-based algorithms like decision trees or random forests or gradient boosting tend to perform better for fraud detection. But for a different use case, you might need to have a completely different algorithm. So it's very important to use the right model for the right case. And after you have the correct algorithm, it's very important to optimize your model. So models are trained and built for a specific merchant or specific sector are more effective because they take into account the nuance of customer behavior, the spending patterns, and the fraud trends that are relevant for that specific merchant. And at ACI, one of the things we do to improve the performance of our model is to leverage the power of the consortium by building strong models for our merchants. So we do this by identifying similar merchants and then combining all that information to train our models. And by doing this, we get a larger set of data for information for our model. So the model has a lot more information to make that distinction between what is a normal behavior on this sector versus what is unusual behavior. So the performance that we get significantly increased by doing this. Something new that we're doing as well, it's our new development, the new incremental learning models that we have. And these type of models are different from the static models, because a static model, a normal machine learning model, you build it on a set of historical data, then you have that model in production. Over time, that model will degrade because the fraudulent behaviors are changing. So you will need to retrain and redeploy that model. But the incremental learning models are able to think for themselves, to adapt to those new behaviors. So they're able to ingest new data and learn those new behaviors without needing to relearn everything they already know. So you don't need that full retrain on the model. You are able to ingest that new data and learn those new behaviors. So these type of models will perform better in production for longer, and this reduces the number of retrainings that we need to do. So it's a smooth process for the customers.
Those are all great points, Patricia, and particularly around the merchant categories. Every category has its own unique type of fraud that needs to be detected. And then you have the issue of a traditional merchant versus an online merchant, which is night and day relative to the models you have to run and the time you have to make a decision. All great points.
Yeah, exactly. And especially in fraud detection, because our target is to reduce the fraud rates. But as you reduce the fraud rate, then you have less information about how a fraudulent transaction looks like. So it's important to have these consortium models, because you can combine all that fraudulent information coming from similar merchants to get a better picture of how fraud looks like to train your model to detect those behaviors.
And the more merchants you have within a category, the better you'll be able to do that. It's great.
You know, one of the things, if I can, I'd really like to kind of ask this question, because I always get curious, because machine learning, I think, you know, particularly from a merchant side, a lot of people look at it and they go, well, geez, this is really complex. Like, how do I interact with it? What do I do to kind of know, like, hey, this is particularly working? And I think that ACI has a particularly really interesting approach when it comes to that. So Patricia, maybe you could kind of talk about, like, what is the interaction between merchants and your team at ACI to be able to optimize specifically for their particular merchant category to make sure they're kind of optimizing their machine learning models to best fit their particular needs?
Yes. So different merchants will have a different appetites for different aspects in fraud. So for one specific merchant, maybe the goal will be to reduce the false positive. Maybe for another merchant, they will want to maximize the fraud detection rate. So it's important to engage with the merchants at a very early stage to understand what is their goal. What do they want to get from the machine learning model? So we have the information to optimize the model in the best way to get better performance that feeds the needs for the merchant.
Sure. I mean, sometimes a merchant has a special offer going out, and that special offer is going to generate new types of traffic that needs to be coordinated with the machine learning tools and the people who are operating them to make sure that special offer is done in a safe fashion and doesn't throw off the models.
Yes, exactly. And you touch on a very important point, Tim, because something that we definitely need to consider in the machine learning models are cases like seasonality, because these machine learning models will learn from experience. And to do that, you need to have a set of historical data that you feed to your model to learn the difference, you know, between a good customer and a fraudulent behavior. But seasonality can significantly impact the performance of your models, because if you, for example, have high sales peak season or you launch a new product, what is a normal behavior at that time might not be a normal behavior later. So you definitely need to consider seasonality when you're building your models to get accurate prediction for future transactions.
Sure, my panic buying on December 22nd and 23rd would probably set off all sorts of alarms.
Patricia, I think that kind of brings up an interesting point though, in terms of machine learning limitations here, right? Because you kind of said, hey, you know, obviously we need the historical data, particularly when it kind of comes to seasonality, but for the machine to build a model correctly, it needs to understand all these parameters and understand like, oh, okay, yes, that it's just because, oh, there is an uptick in sales in the summer and it kind of drops off in the wintertime here. So when we talk about kind of the limitations of machine learning, maybe you could kind of unpack a couple more of those and then maybe kind of say, well, here's what really can be done to kind of limit those or mitigate those problems.
Yes, and as I said before, machine learning is an extremely valuable tool, but it's not a silver bullet. So with these sophisticated algorithms, the merchants need to understand that they cannot just plug and play and expect an optimal result. These type of models, to get the best performance, they need to be optimized for the specific needs of the merchants. And they also need to be maintained. They need to be monitored over time to ensure the model is performing as you expect. You also need to be monitoring for cases like seasonality. So part of the things that we do at ACI to mitigate these problems is to use our machine learning models as part of a multi-layer approach. And we include this in our overall fraud strategy alongside with flexible rules and other supporting fraud prevention tools. So for example, for cases like seasonality, you could use specific rules for just that period that won't affect your model, but will provide the better fraud prevention for the merchant.
Yeah, it's not just the tool, it's the operations around the tool that make the difference.
Exactly.
Excellent. Well, Patricia, Tim, thank you so much for taking the time today for talking to me about machine learning as a valuable tool for fighting fraud. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Thank you, Ryan.